Oh my gosh, we're back, baby. It's Mark Becker. We've got the Rational Revolution. Holy cow. I hope you guys had a wonderful Thanksgiving. We had a best of last week, and I'm so excited to be back here behind this mic, flapping my gums, talking about some awesome stuff. So it's so good to be back in the studio, and I really have a great show for you, because we have our dear friend, our old friend, the former host of the show, your friend and mine, Chris. Wait, excuse me.
What?
Oh, state senator-elect.
It is.
Chris Alfheim. Oh, my God. You won.
We did win.
Yes.
No.
I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
I am so, so happy for
you. Thank you.
And I'm happy for Wisconsin.
I'm happy.
That's a big deal.
I'm happy, too. I mean, we don't obviously do a whole lot of celebrating. You know, there's a lot going on. But it is a big deal.
We can celebrate
it's
that.
It's a big deal.
That's allowed.
You know, there's a lot of effort that goes on. And the efforts of those who came before me for decades. Yeah. The efforts of getting the maps. There's so many people to thank and to be celebratory about. So again, it's a little bit of a strange transition, but I am so excited. I mean, you know that I did not get into this for any other reason than to try and bring some rational thought forward. Yeah. And I am who I am, and I've run on that, and I am that person going forward. And I'm very, very excited for the reception of that, of me, the reception of my philosophy in moving things forward for Wisconsin. And I'm humble. I'm humble and very, very proud to be doing it.
It's got to be a big weight. You know?
Yeah. I mean, again, it's weird, right? I mean, when you don't grow up thinking you're going to go into politics.
No.
You don't grow up into that.
No.
And, but I look back at, you know, what got me here. And I remember, you know, I remember being a kid and going to Madison. I remember walking into the Capitol as a kid on that tour. I remember going to DC for the first time as an 11-year-old after winning the Safety Patrol Award. You know, a rural,
guys are awesome.
I know, Wisconsin girl, and I was astounded. I was just in awe of everything about it. We sat in the chamber as it was going on, and those things impacted me. And then, as you know, as an adult, getting into advocacy and sitting in a coffee shop outside the Capitol in Madison, I still love the energy of that. I love the fact that there are protesters and there are college kids and there are grade school kids and there are business people and they are all working and talking about what's important to them.
People who care.
Yeah. And it doesn't, it's not about agreeing with all of them. It's about the fact that this exists, the ability exists and it's important. And now I get to be part of it. My name's on the wall. And that's cool.
That is cool.
It's cool. My 98-year-old grandmother is going to be coming to the inauguration.
She is.
She is.
Oh, you've talked about her.
I love my grandma.
Yes.
I love my grandma. She's hopefully making it. Obviously, she's a little bit weather dependent. She's down in Indianapolis right now.
Okay.
But fingers crossed she's going to make it. Mom and dad will be there. The family will be there. And some important friends. And so it is a big deal. I'm so wonderfully, wonderfully excited to be representing the Fox Valley. I truly am.
What a cool thing. Mm-hmm. You know? What? How was Thanksgiving?
It's a blur right now. I gotta say, Thanksgiving was great. We actually went over to the Wausau area, spent time with my sister and her entire family, and all the little ones running around, and then spent the night at my mom and dad's house, watched the Packer game, you know, ate pie more than once.
Yes, you sent me a video. You were glamping. I have to show.
Oh, that's
you.
A different one. Yes, yes,
yes, and it was. Whatever it was, this was blurry, just like that.
Yeah.
So I was like, I have no idea what you're, it looks wonderful.
It was wonderful, yes. Someone had given us, I'm not sure where it came from. It might have been Carrie Ann for her 50th birthday, but a beautiful bottle of champagne.
That's okay.
And we enjoyed that in a little glamping spot outside of Wild Rose, which was a postcard cabins, I believe they're called.
Oh,
and
cool.
They're all over the country. And just a little chance to get away and be quiet. And we did that leading into Thanksgiving, which was fabulous.
Good for you. We haven't really spoken on the show since the last episode before the election, which is wonderful. One out of two made it. I have questions about, you know, because you spent your life campaigning for the last how many months?
Mm-hmm.
What happened in November? I mean, there was good, but overall, I mean, we were.
Yeah. It's interesting because on election night, I went to 4 watch parties.
Yeah.
And at the first 3, I was still very confident that we would have a blue wave across the board.
Yeah.
And by about 30 minutes into the fourth, I realized that something had gone horribly awry.
Yeah.
And it took some thinking about it. And I tried to think about what made me so excited and so positive and so enthusiastic leading into the election that I thought that it would be a blue wave, and then try to diagnose what I missed. Mm. And what I've come up with, I was always excited because if I knocked 75 doors, out of the 75 doors, I would probably get to talk to 12 people. And of the 12 people, there would be a strong, and these were all moderates. I did almost no strong Dem doors. They were always moderate, always in the moderate universe. And in 12 doors, I would probably run into six that were definitely blue. Definitely leaning blue, didn't like, they were anti-Trump, leaning blue. And then I would run into maybe two that were red. And then I would run into a handful that were truly rational people who were, once, you know, again, reducing stress, right? So I always wanted to make sure everybody knew that it was okay to say whatever they wanted to me.
Yeah.
Because if I was going to represent them, they needed to know that I was willing to listen without judgment. And so I was pretty good at reducing stress on a conversation, and they would start to tell me why they were confused on the top of the ticket. And we would walk through the conversation, and I would walk through about 5 points that collectively at the end, they would absolutely nod their head and say, yeah, absolutely, it makes sense. It was almost like they were Republican and they knew what they had to do, but they just had to do it. They had to vote for Kamala. And I would leave that day feeling pleased because overall, that is definitely a blue feel.
Yeah.
What you forget to talk about is that you only got to talk to 12 out of 75 people.
Yeah.
And if every 12 had that ratio of people that were literally confused as to what to do, and they didn't get to have a conversation without stress, without judgment, without bias, and I truly mean that because I wanted to be able to have a good conversation with them, they didn't get to thoughtfully work through their questions with someone. And that tells us that there were a lot of people out there that were on the fence, confused, and in today's reality, in today's society, there aren't a lot of opportunities where you can just have a calm conversation.
Right.
They don't exist. Everything is loud. Everything is ultra-focused one side or the other. I always said I never intended to talk anybody into voting for me or anybody else, but I wanted to hear them no matter what. And they would learn from me that I was listening first and acknowledging. And that, in my opinion, is what's missing. There are a lot of pains out there. And if we ignored the fact that pains existed, then we weren't doing our job. On the other side, in my opinion, the commercials, the never-ending ads, were poking what hurt. Yeah. So the easiest thing to do in politics is to poke what hurts.
Right.
But then the Republican side, in my opinion, never talked about trying to fix it. The Democrats talked about what they wanted to fix of the things they chose to focus on, but didn't really... We weren't successful in separating out the difference between the economy and inflation. We weren't successful in breaking the things apart. And oftentimes, I think the conversation went to, oh, no, it's not. The economy's great. Well, that's not effective. It's not effective to tell somebody the opposite. Instead, you have to be able to, again, reduce the stress and talk about, okay, let's talk about it. You know, how old are you? 62. Have you ever seen interest rates hold at 1.85% for more than ever? And they're like, oh, that never should have happened. I know.
Right.
Which is why we had to go to eventually a 7 because it never should have been at 1.85. If we would have done the proper thing back then, which was a Trump administration situation, if we would have adjusted the numbers back then, we wouldn't have gotten here. And that's a rational conversation that people, that anybody over age 40 knows that to be true. So there are ways that we can do it. I do believe that as a party, that our focus is on people. It must be people, which is not just the specialty groups. And I think that, again, I say this as a newcomer, you know, as a newcomer. But I think that when we are overly verbal on a few issues and we forget to talk about the rest of the people, we're making a mistake. We somehow, as a party, have to help people realize that if we reach out for labor, we are reaching out for working families. If we reach out for the environment, we are taking care of clean water and everyone, air for everyone. That is, those are all encompassing issues. If it's LGBT, it's because they are people that have a right to have a healthy life. lifestyle, right? So again, I don't know all of the answers. I do know that I was caught unaware and perhaps in the bliss of hearing good information and you just missed the fact that we weren't talking to everybody. So I guess my thought in the long run is we must reach more people in a stressless way so that we can have conversations. Because I've had many conversations with party groups with a lot of very upset, sad, disenfranchised, angry, a lot of people. And my message is always, you cannot go through life assuming that anyone who didn't vote for our party is evil. They aren't.
Right.
They are perhaps misinformed. Mm-hmm. They are perhaps ignorant on purpose or not. Mm-hmm. But there's a group of people, and we will never find success in helping them to realize the correct direction to go by screaming at them.
Yeah, exactly.
And we will not make progress by holding pitchforks.
No.
We instead have to, reduce the stress and have conversations again so people can rationally work through decisions that were made and then be able to work forward through that. That's my method. That's been successful for me for years. Again, let's talk through it. But you can't hold in your heart or in your mind or anywhere anger and hostility from this day forward. It isn't going to help. So process the emotions, accept them, they're there. I respect every emotion that everybody's feeling. And now let's come back down and say, what are the rational steps we can take to do a better job of helping people that are unaware become aware so that better decisions can be made in the future?
Do you think that, is that a difference of how we run the campaigns?
In some ways. Again, even at doors, asking instead of telling.
Yeah.
Asking instead of telling, let people work through what's on their mind and they will come down the path that they need to,
right,
as opposed to pushing them because and you tell them that they're wrong.
Okay, that makes sense. Here we got State Senator-elect Chris Alfheim on the show. This is wonderful. We'll be right back here on the Rational Revolution.